Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm really excited for my guest today. I have Ms. Rachel Strom. She is a mortgage loan originator with Cardinal Financial, and she's also an aspiring developer, and she's got a lot of exciting things to talk about with us today. So I'm really excited for this conversation. Ms. Rachel, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me. I'm really excited. Thank you for taking out the time. So let's jump right into it. How did you first get interested in real estate?
I started not actually in real estate, but my aunt had a housing business. So she was a HUD contractor. So she used to do technical assistance for public housing authorities. And so I really got started in the space of affordable housing. I used to be a housing occupancy specialist, which most people will refer to as a Section 8 caseworker. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got started in the housing industry. I got started in real estate around 2007 when I took my pre-licensing classes to be a realtor. Well, we all know what happened in like 2008, 2009. So I never really got to use my license because, you know, the market went haywire. But that's where I got my start.
Okay. So we're going to talk about mortgages and development, but you just mentioned about Section 8. And I know that's a topic that a lot of people have a lot of myths about. So can you dispel some of those myths about Section 8? Because some people think, oh, you know, if I get this, people are going to tear up my property. These pros are the worst. Like, tell us your experience working with folks in Section 8. And you told me something I didn't know before about how Section 8 can be used for home ownership.
Yes. So it really grinds my gears when people make the generalization that Section 8 tenants will tear up their property or they're not going to get, you know, just all of the biases. Mm-hmm. So Section 8 is basically just a rental subsidy program. As a landlord and a property owner, you still have to do your due diligence like you would with any other tenant. So you still have to do your background checks, and you still have to take them through an application process. And so I think people get upset and they like to place the blame when they don't do their due diligence. They just see, oh, it's guaranteed rent. Sure, you can come live here. They haven't done any reference checks. They haven't checked credit. And so when, you know, that bites them, they look for someone to blame other than the person in the mirror. Mm-hmm. So that's typically what happens there. But there's so many great things about the Section 8 program. Also, more formally referred to as the Housing Choice Voucher Program, you can use your Section 8 voucher to purchase a home. Not all housing authorities participate in the program, so you have to look that up. And I'm coming out, I'll have all that information on my website. So you'll be able to see, you know, which housing authorities around the country actually participate in that program. But Section 8, the Section 8 office has a choice of doing two things. They can either give you a lump sum to help with your down payment, or they can make your mortgage payment for 15 years, unless you're elderly or disabled, and then they can make it for the term of the mortgage. So there are some general rules that HUD sets, and then there are some more definitive rules that can be set over and above by the housing authority.
Okay. And so how do people that are renting Section 8, how do they become eligible for the home ownership part?
Well, typically you have to work. So you have to have a full-time job, work at least 2000 hours. And you have to have had Section 8 for at least a year. I would recommend, some housing authorities require that you're in their family self-sufficiency program. But there is also a home ownership program that is a separate component. So you would want to call your housing authority and ask them what their particular rules are. But you do want to make sure that you're employed full time, and they'll have some income guidelines depending on your area of how much you need to make.
Okay. And from a person that's selling my house, do I need to do anything special to accept someone with a Section 8 like down payment voucher?
Not really the seller. The seller, that's not anything that they would need to worry about. You do want to make sure that you have a loan officer and a realtor that understands the process, because it is a different process. And if you, as a first-time home buyer, are going through this process for the first time and you have a novice loan officer and a novice realtor, it's going to frustrate the process.
So you want to have
yes, so you want to have an experienced team that can take you through the process, so it'll be smooth for you and a good experience, good home buying experience.
Okay, well, that was some gems and we barely getting started. Okay, so fast forward a couple years after you did your pre-licensing for real estate, you started doing a lot of work with pre-foreclosed, foreclosed homes. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yes. So my business partner, I met my business partner, and he, upon meeting him, he told me what he did. And because he had a property preservation business, I had never heard of property preservation. And so upon talking to him, he, you know, I asked him what his business goals were, and he said to stop being the middleman. So he worked for a company that worked for the asset managers. And so after some digging, about 24 to 48 hours later, he just emailed him the information. This is how you cut out the middleman. And he was like blown away. I still really didn't know what a property preservation business did, but I knew how to navigate the HUD website to find the information that he needed. And so when I gave him that information, immediately he was like, you have to come work for me. So that's how I got started in property preservation and learning about that business. So basically, the asset managers would assign companies to take care of these homes that were foreclosed or pre-foreclosed. Mm-hmm. And so you had to cure all of the safety hazards and make sure that the house met with the township or county code. So keep the grass cut, keep the snow shoveled, and make sure there weren't any safety hazards in the house. So when a realtor wants to show it, it's ready to be shown, but you kind of maintain that property until it's sold.
Okay. And how does somebody find like a house in pre-foreclosure?
So the easiest way to find a house in pre-foreclosure, and I would say you want to get to it before it even gets in that process, right? Before it gets to the courts, you want to find people who maybe be behind on their water bill, because that's public information.
Right.
So I'm behind. People, you see that their water bills are behind or they're always late being paid. That might be an indication of someone you may want to call and say, hey, you know, are you looking to sell? And that's a lot of times what wholesalers do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you want to look for those signs, distressed properties in your neighborhood. You want to get them before the banks get involved, because then that's another person that has to be negotiated with instead of negotiating with the homeowner or the property owner.
Okay. All right. So what made you get into mortgage origination?
I was an insurance producer for many, many years, licensed in 18 states. And I always talked to loan originators when they were getting home policies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them work from home. They seem to enjoy what they did. And I already loved real estate. And so the opportunity came, a friend of mine got hired by a mortgage company and she said, you should try this out. We used to work together. And so at the insurance agency, and she said, you should try this out. And I took the leap of faith, became a loan originator. And as I'm learning about loan origination in real estate with as it applies to loan origination, I realized that a lot of this information is not foreign. A lot of it's like the same across the board, and that loan origination is very similar to the Section 8 process of getting clients qualified for Section 8, except for now you're getting them qualified for a mortgage. So once I realized that, it was just like a no-brainer. I can do this.
Okay. So that's, I mean, the financial piece is probably the most important thing besides the actual property. And, you know, with COVID, the whole mortgage industry kind of shifted a lot. So what are some of the things that you're seeing maybe as we're kind of on the other side of the pandemic? What's the financial markets looking like?
So I've always caution people when they're focusing on interest rates as first-time home buyers, right? Or as home buyers at all, because your interest rate, as we know, interest rates have gone up from the COVID unicorn.
Right. Like, that's never going to happen again.
Yes. Those are like once in a lifetime interest rates. We weren't living in reality. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're back to reality. But the good news is people aren't fighting over homes at open houses like I was hearing about during COVID. And I mean, like physically fighting. I have realtors call me with the wildest stories. People aren't paying over asking. Now sellers are more apt to giving credits, which is great because I have a lot of people with no money that are qualifying to purchase homes and they have no money. So it's a really good time to buy a house for a buyer because there's more negotiation power right now.
Okay. All right. And what about some of the other, you said interest rates aren't really a effect. What about, you know, people's ability for down payments? Like you said, seller credits, anything else within the mortgage market that you've seen have changed since the pandemic?
That's a good question. So there's more down payment assistance programs are becoming, I won't say more lax, but more used by more loan originators, because before, when the market was so low, you had very well qualified buyers in the market, right? So there was no use for down payment assistance programs as much. So now that the market has slowed, all of the companies are looking for ways to bring in buyers, and so there's more down payment assistance programs available. The down payment assistance amounts have increased. So that's a huge help. And it's usually in most states, there's more than one to choose from. Even some of the credit requirements, because down payment assistance programs tend to have higher credit requirements than a regular FHA loan. And they also have lower debt to income ratio requirements than what the FHA or conventional loans require. And some of those guidelines are relaxing.
Okay, awesome information. So from mortgage origination to development, what made you want to get into that? And then obviously we are classmates matriculated through Capital Impact Partners program. So tell me about what made you interested in getting development and how was your experience with the CIP program?
Okay. So yeah, as stated before, affordable housing is like my passion. And so there is a huge housing shortage in the country. The last time I checked, it's about 5.8 million units short of housing, and about 1.2 million of those are affordable housing units. And so me seeing that there's not enough housing being developed, and definitely not enough affordable housing that would be safe and sanitary, a place where you can live without shame, it made me want to get into housing development. And so I learned about the Capital Impact program at a real estate meetup. There was a young lady there who worked for Capital Impact. And so we're going around the room just discussing what we want to do. And she said, you know, she pulled me to the side and said, hey, you know, I work for this company and there's this program for developers of color and the application should be coming out pretty soon. You should think about applying. And I just thought it was a long shot. Girl, when I read the requirements, I'm like, well, you know, I'll apply, but we'll see. And so I got through the first round and I was like, okay, well, you know, there's a chance for me. And then when I got chosen, I was ecstatic. But of course, we had to write a like a short synopsis of why we wanted to be in a program and what our mission was as developers of color. And so, of course, mine is affordable housing, and just not affordable housing, but holistic affordable housing, that helps people become homeowners, that help people with, you know, food deserts, that help people with mental health issues. Because typically, people who live in affordable housing, it's the economic, you know, condition that they're in, right? And when you don't have money, it affects everything. It affects the food that you can buy and afford to eat. It affects your health care. It affects a myriad of conditions in your life. And so just addressing housing isn't enough. And so I want to develop holistic affordable housing.
Okay, so how was your experience? How did you like the program when you were going through it?
I loved it. I love the program. I thought it was so informative. I learned so much. And I the best thing were the relationships with the participants in the program, because they did a very good job of picking people in different sectors of real estate. So we had loan originators, we had investors, we had realtors, we had contractors, which we all know a good contractor is hard to find. So
And then people are stingy. Once they get a good one, they ain't sharing.
no. So yeah, it was just great to see the mix of people and how they contributed to the different groups that we were placed in.
Okay, so now you graduated from the program and you already got a project popping off right now in Indiana. So tell me about
Yes. So, yeah.
that.
The Midwest is a great place. So I grew up in Indiana, even though I live in the DMV now. I was born in Maryland, moved to Indiana as a child, grew up in Indiana, now I'm back in Maryland. And so the sticker shock coming to the East Coast was real. You know, as a kid, those aren't things that you think about. But every time I would look at a house on the East Coast, I'm like, if I bought that in Indiana, it would be like a third of the price or even less. So, I definitely knew that Indiana was going to be the place where I would get my start because I could just get more for my money. And, you know, you should invest where you know, right? Even if, because you know the landscape, you have a relationship, hopefully, with the community, and you might be able to make those connections easier with, you know, zoning, with somebody knows somebody knows somebody, right? And so investing where you know is the easiest way to start. And so I have a project going in Indiana. It's a whole home renovation. Once that project is done, the house will be rented out. But I do have a few other projects. Now that I'm spending more time in Indiana on this project, I have a few other projects that I'm about to start. I have one under contract in Maryland, so I did bite the bullet. I have one under contract in Maryland. And then in Indiana, I am working on partnering with contractors to help low-income buyers. Not only just buy a house, but buy a house that is it gives them the feeling of customization, right? Because I feel like so many times when people are low income, and I've been there, I'm a single mom, three kids, they aren't afforded the same opportunities. And it's just little things like having to stand in line to get your WIC voucher. Like the customer service is terrible in any like any aid office,
Government
right? It's just,
subsidy,
oh child, there's no customer service, right? It's like they're doing you a favor, but without you, they won't have a job, right? And so I want to bring that customer service and give low-income home buyers the feeling of customization, like if somebody was getting their house built, So we may get a home that is distressed. They get to pick out their fixtures and their, you know, within a certain budget, and really get to customize that home and get that same feeling of someone building their home that they may not have otherwise been able to get.
Yeah, that's
so they get the whole experience.
That's amazing, because, you know, when people own something and they feel like they're part of the process, then they have more pride and they take care of it better.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you got a course coming out. Is that still a thing?
So I have an ebook coming out, and it's called Section 8 to Real Estate. Mm-hmm. And so it's teaching people how to not just go from Section 8 to purchasing a home, but how to leverage that home to create generational wealth, right? Because we have to dispel the dream of home ownership that we were sold, because it was a sell. It mm-hmm. was a sell to purchase homes. But what do we do after we get the home? Right. So many people that I talk to that are first time home buyers are the first person to own a home in their family. They have no one to ask, like, well, what do I do when this happens? Or how do I go through the refinance process? Whereas our counterparts and, you know, our different racial counterparts may not, you know, have those issues. There might be somebody in their family who owns a home that they can go to and ask, right? And so we need to help people not just buy a home, but maintain that home and leverage that home and the equity in that home to build generational wealth and really leave a legacy.
Right. And then you talked about like the down payment assistance programs before. Some of those have certain kind of restrictions, kind of little fine print language about, you know, you can't refinance, you can't use the equity in your house within a certain time frame, all this stuff. So people need to, you know, just really be aware of what they're getting into.
Yes. And so that's why you really want to have a loan originator who not just, you know, sells you a loan and originates, but really helps you map out the process of this is going to be my strategy into wealth generation, right? So I have this down payment and I'm licensed in 17 states. And so every state has different criteria. So I'm generally speaking. So this down payment assistance program, if I have to stay in the house for 5 years, let's say, and then it turns into a grant. Someone needs to know that. Or this down payment assistance program may always stay attached to the home and it won't leave until I sell the home or unless I refinance, pay it off with the equity in the home, and then I can move on about my business. So we have to know what we're getting into when we're using the programs, and we have to have an exit strategy, right? So that's very important, is having an exit strategy to get that second lien off of the house, or waiting till it turns into a grant and it just falls off.
Okay. So what's next for Rachel? What else is going on with you?
So just acquiring more real estate and helping more people. I'm really excited about the ebook coming out, and I am excited to get people from Section 8. And it's not really even just Section 8, right? It's the getting them from a place where they're economically dependent to a place where they're economically independent and creating that legacy and that generational wealth. So that is my focus for the next few years.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the fact that we're now talking more about affordable housing, and the government and all these different organizations are putting dollars behind that notion. But eventually we got to get to the point where we're owning these properties.
Exactly. And where we don't need where we don't need government assistance.
Exactly.
Because so much comes along with that as far as people telling you how you can live your life financially. And so once we're able to really free ourselves, we'll have so many more options, so many more doors will open and be available.
Absolutely. All right. This was amazing. Let me transition to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. four questions I ask every guest. So first off, what is your favorite book about real estate?
Oh my goodness. My favorite book about real estate. I hate to be like cliche, and it's really not about real estate, but it really is Think and Grow Rich. And I have it on audio book. Yeah. So I listen to it every so often, just to get that refresher, that motivation, remotivate me. But yeah, Think and Grow Rich is...
It's not cliche if it's a classic. Yeah. So
I know it is. It's like everybody says that, but if you keep hearing it, then you need to drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yep. Check it out for sure. All right. Second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self first getting started in your real estate career?
Be patient and don't overthink the process. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we think that it takes so much strategy and so much thinking, so we won't make mistakes, mm-hmm. Or those big mistakes. But the truth is, you're gonna make the mistake, right? And people just have to come to terms. If the faster you come to terms with you're going to make the mistake and it's going to cost you money, the faster you can get started and also have a contingency plan for when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, failing is the only way you really learn, for real. Like, you got to do it.
Exactly. Fail forward.
There you go. All right. The third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
Tax liens.
Okay.
Tax liens. So purchasing, that's like what I'll be focused on in probably next year, is how to purchase properties through tax liens. It's a waiting game, mm-hmm. But because you're going to make money either way, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing some interesting things about tax liens, especially like in the Midwest and Indiana, people getting houses for under $1,000 or something like that.
Little to nothing. You have to wait. And the thing about tax liens is every county has a different process.
Right.
So it's not just like learning about how to flip a house, right? That process is the same almost everywhere you go. There might be zoning requirement changes, but mm-hmm. the process is basically the same. Whereas with tax liens, every county does their tax liens differently.
One thing that's good is, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of the counties like had to have their tax auctions and tax lien sales online. So that's mm-hmm. good, because you don't have to actually yes. physically go to the courthouse. So.
And get the list. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Last but not least, can you give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
Okay. It is going to be, Miss Megan Shekels, as my kids call her, MJ, as her friends call her. And she has a million Instagrams, but Empower Consulting by MJ is her Instagram.
Okay. What does Miss Megan do?
So she has just really blown me away. She's from Kentucky. She came from Kentucky in 2019. And by 2021, she was a millionaire. Oh, so wow. So she has multiple properties in different states. So I think she has one in Kentucky, she has one in Baltimore, she has two in DC, and she also has it's a podcast or a mentorship group called Follow the Rehab. So now she's, you know, leading people on the rehab process. Mm-hmm. So she's just doing big things. She organized real estate meetups, mm-hmm. Which have really, I've spoken at the meetups about home ownership, purchasing first time home buyers, and people who want to transition to just owning one property to becoming real estate investors. Mm-hmm. And so many people have become homeowners as a result of these meetups, and investors. So she's doing big things in the real estate game. And I know there's even more to come.
Okay, awesome. Now I want to go back because you reminded me of something to ask you. We talked a lot about like first-time home buyer mortgages, but what about for the investors? Is there anything people should know about this market in terms of investment loans?
So the good thing about being a real estate investor and why I like working with real estate investors is because it's always a good time to invest. Mm-hmm. It's always about finding the deal. And the numbers have to make sense no matter what the market says, no matter what interest rates say. Mm-hmm. As long as the numbers make sense, then you're good. But there are a myriad of products that I have for real estate investors, from 100% finance, fix and flips, mm-hmm. to DSCR loans. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to like show your income. The property, the cash flow of the property is like the proof of income. And that's what we look at. To portfolio loans. So I have an investor right now that has 17 properties. Most of them are paid off, but he's like, I don't have any money. I'm like, you have money. You have money. So you can put all those properties together and take out one loan against several different properties. So that's a portfolio loan. So we have a lot of different products for people who are just starting out investing and the seasoned investors.
Okay. How does a portfolio loan work in terms of like once you, if you get in trouble with it, like you're in the process of almost being foreclosed, like how do they know which property to take or how does that work?
Well, that's
don't get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble. So, I mean, most people, if you're doing a portfolio loan, you have multiple properties, right? Mm-hmm. And multiple properties that are paid off most of the time is right. You know, people have, so most of those investors know what they're doing.
Yeah.
For the bank to take a chance on you and do a portfolio loan, they've looked at your criteria with a fine tooth comb. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to be stuck holding the bag. Contrary to popular belief, banks and lending institutions, they don't want your house.
Right.
They don't want it.
They're not in the business of holding real estate.
Yeah. They just want you to pay your loan back so they can get their interest, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want your house. And so they want to make sure that if they're doing a portfolio loan, they're lending to someone who has experience and who has an exit strategy right. in case they do get in trouble. And people sell whole portfolios all the time. So that's not something that happens as much as you know, a residential loan defaulting.
Got it. All right. That was good information. Now, lastly, how do people get in contact with you?
So you can email me, Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, at Origination Redefined. You can find me on Instagram, Rachel Strum, all one word. And you can also go to originationredefined.com.
Cool. Any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
I would say whatever your goals or aspirations are in real estate, whether you're a homeowner, whether you're an investor, whether you want to become an investor or a homeowner, to just go for it. Just do it. Don't overthink it. We waste so much time overthinking the process and letting fear rule our next move that we don't do it. Or, you know, we miss out on, you know, a great market, like people who are just now calling me like, can I get those interest rates from a year ago? No, you can't. So I would say just do it. And if you're having trouble, like get in contact with me. So I don't have to originate the loan. I also do mortgage consulting. Mm-hmm. And so I can help you negotiate a good deal. Like I did with MJ with another company. It's when you're about helping people build legacy and build wealth, it's not about you and whether you get the loan, right? It's about helping that client get to where they need to be, regardless of if you originate the loan or not.
Exactly. And then people are singing your praises. And then they like, oh, yeah, I heard Rachel on the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. She's awesome. Like, we got to go check her out. So,
yes, yes, yes.
All right. Thank you so much. This was an amazing conversation. I really appreciate your time. And you're just such a great person. You're always good to talk to and such a wealth of knowledge. So I'm really glad to have met you and be able to work with you.
Thank you so much. Likewise. And yes, yes, yes. I love your niche too, commercial real estate. So that's one of my goals in the next 3 to 4 years, commercial real estate.
Yes. All right. Cool. Well, thank you again, Rachel. Again, this was another episode of the Pretty Girls Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.